Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Wolves Fancast. Oh, life's better when Wolves win, isn't it? Joining me to look back on Wolves' 2-1 win against Chelsea, we've got Luke.
How are you doing, guys? You all right?
We've got Kim.
Hi, guys.
And we've got Ed Marshall joining us for the first time. Ed, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks.
I say joining us for the first time. You've done an episode of Stories from the Pack with Hoops a few weeks back now. So I guess it's sort of your first time in doing a post-game review. And I think, as I was saying earlier, I think we've picked a really good one. For me, I was a bit worried going into this game because I thought, looking at the lineup, going back to back three, I thought it could be a classic Nuno, just kill the game, 0-0, just get back on track. And for me, doing a podcast for, 6 years now? Luke might agree with me on this one. There's only one thing worse than doing a podcast when Wolves lose. It's doing it when we've drawn 0-0. So the fact that we've come away from here with a 2-1 win, lots to talk about. We've picked a great game to go through. But I guess, as we always do, looking back at the starting lineup, Luke, when you saw us lining up with a back five, back three, however you want to sort of view it, were you happy or were you a bit disappointed we haven't kind of stuck to, forward back from the last couple of games?
I was a bit disappointed because I've been quite a big champion for four at the back. But it was probably needed just to maybe shore it up a little bit, maybe stink the place out, try and get a draw, stop the rot. So I can see why Nuno did it, and hats off to him, he's got it right today. I don't think anybody can sit here and say, no matter what side of the fence you sit on, if you're in camp four at the back or camp five at the back, he's got it right today. And I think going forward, do we need to be so rigid where it's either four at the back or five at the back for a whole season? It would be nice if we saw Nuno mixing up, maybe not saying game to game, but, you know, Chelsea, Chelsea, Tottenham, Man City, you know, the better teams, maybe play five at the back against them. But do we want to see five at the back against West Brom, Sheffield United, Fulham, those sort of teams? So, you know, maybe it's something to think about.
Ed, I can see you sort of very much nodding in agreement with that.
I think tactically, Nuno's got it spot on tonight. We're playing a team that are full of attacking promise, and, you know, all of their front line have cost, you know, millions and millions of pounds. So I think we've hit the reset button tonight, haven't we? We've gone, let's go back. And I was making some notes through the game, and sort of you could tell after 5 minutes that players knew where they should be again. And I think when you're playing against a team that are on the front foot like Chelsea, that probably makes sense to be Nuno's pragmatic approach makes sense. But I agree with Luke. I think, you know, we should play four at the back against West Brom and properly stick it to them. And Man United, I think we can play two at the back, to be honest.
Kim, I think one thing sort of I've noticed over the last, couple of years of Wolves being in the Premier League is when the chips are a bit down for Wolves, he always tends to bring Saïss back in. Were you kind of happy to see him, I guess, coming to a back three as opposed to, I guess, Kilman, who'd been playing there while sort of Saïss was out?
Well, I think Kilman, you've got to say, is unlucky not to have been dropped in the first place. I mean, I think initially, you know, you could understand it in the sense of going to a back four. The last game, we were always going to play Bolly and Cody. But then, yeah, I was quite surprised that Kilmer didn't come back in. But then I think Saïss did do really well tonight. And I think overall, I think the team looked a lot more comfortable overall, I'd say. But I do agree with Luke. I still think in the games where, you know, for instance, Burnley away, I'd still like to see us play the four at the back because we shouldn't be coming under the same sort of pressure that we would against big teams like Chelsea, City. I don't think we were great in the first half. I thought we were okay. But I think we actually lacked belief, I felt. Like, you still felt that Chelsea were going to score and take it. And then the second half, we really sort of pushed on, I think, and especially Neto and Pedence for me were really sort of vital in that in that resurgence, if you like.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money there. But in the first half, we almost seem to be very conservative in how we're playing. And there were a couple of instances where we could have got the ball out wide just that bit quicker and just taken that risk. And it was almost like first half, they had it in their mind, we're just going to get a 0-0 draw out of this. Just get a point. And we could, you know, it can be a building block onto Burnley. That's one where we can get a win. But I know, just either side of the first half, just and second half, start of the second, we just completely dropped off for me. You know, Vadro's couple of chances is just before half time when I think Zuma hit the crossbar, then Giroud missed the rebound, and that, you know, good teams punish you for ones like that. And then the goal came fairly soon after half time with sort of Giroud, sweet strike. But Ed, do you think Wolves could have done a bit better with the goal?
I think probably should hold our hands up there. I think the defending was sort of a bit lapsed, and I think it's definitely a thing, isn't it, that after half time we seem slow sometimes, and I felt like to today's game it sort of was a bit of a slow out the traps again, and maybe the change at half time people were making sure they knew where they should be, and I think maybe that is. I think Otto Savi did really well as he grew into the game. But I think, yeah, I think maybe it's just sort of, I agree with the previous points. I think that we clearly were, you know, fighting to stay in the game at the end of the game, just with a couple of chances, and they seemed to be on top of it. And I think Chelsea definitely had the wind in the sails at that point. And I think that it was maybe a chance to get a rocket up them after it happened. And as per usual with some of the Nuno performances, is it took us to go behind for us to really start playing again.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Owen Osasawi there. I mean, he's had a couple of cup appearances now, but it's his first time in the league. Luke, what did you sort of think of his performance?
I thought he did well. I thought positionally he looked fine. Broke up play quite nicely, a couple of interceptions. When he's intercepting the ball, then he's looking to drive forward as well, which is a positive. Obviously, he's a big lad, strong, powerful with his running. His passing was decent. So it's nice to see, because I know we talk a lot about we've got now strength in depth. I think that's mainly because they're not household names that we're talking about. But when you've got players like Otasewi coming on, doing well, it just gives you that little bit more confidence that we have got strength in depth in the squad, and if when called upon, they're going to do a job. You know, I'm not sure whether Dendonka was injured in the first half, but if you look at both players over 45 minutes, you'd probably score Dendonka a 5 and Otasewi maybe a 7. So yeah. I think, you know, that says a lot. Obviously, there's not much in it in terms of levels. Can he do it consistently over a run of games if he was ever to get one? I suppose we'll never know. But, you know, he's capped at international level. Okay, it might be USA, but still, you know, you've got to be half decent to represent USA, really. So, yeah, positive signs that, you know, we've got some youngsters coming through, and hopefully they're going to be the future.
Yeah, I think you're on the money with Dendonka as well, because I guess on paper and sort of what I've seen on, let's be honest, quite a limited amount of views of Otasawi, he does have a bit of Dendonka in him, the fact that he is a big, physical, quite tall centre midfielder.
Yeah, box to box as well. You know, he was in the box for when Samado should have taken the shots. Yeah. Otasawi was there. He was defending well, so he's in both boxes, which it's what we need. We're crying out for it. I just, don't get me wrong, as good as Neves and Moutinho are, when they play together, they're just too similar. You know, they've sort of got that 40, 50-yard range, you know, 25 yards in each half, and they don't really go much further than that. They're too similar for me. And especially with now Jimenez now, we do need somebody from midfield breaking the lines, getting in the box to try and connect on crosses. With Neves and Moutinho, we're never ever gonna get that. Never. So to have the other option, it just adds a whole new dynamic to the team, and it just gives you more options.
Yeah, Kim, what did you make of Neves's performance? Because it seemed to be sort of quite contrasting on parts on from what I could see on Twitter.
Still feel like he's missing his sort of his odd game, where I guess he controlled the game, he sprayed the ball around, he was, you know, passing the ball and almost dictating the tempo. I still don't feel like he's at that level now. Now, to be fair, obviously you don't expect that against Chelsea, but I don't think he's been at that level for a while now, personally. But I just don't, overall, I don't think the balance in midfield's right for me. I don't think he's... I suppose he's the most suited out of all three, but I don't think he's the answer long-term, personally. I think we need someone with a bit more flair, maybe. Sort of like the Vitana type, but I guess we don't know. He hasn't really had a chance as of yet. But, yeah, for me, sometimes I think Dendonker does do a good job. You know, I think he can man-mark well, but I just don't think he's going to... you know, get us the goals from midfield, Percy, that we need.
Yeah, I saw your tweet, Kim, the other day about Dendonker, and to a point, I mean, I love Dendonker. I think he's genuinely a pretty complete footballer, but for me, if we're relying on him to get us goals, there is a big fundamental issue with this Wolves team. And, you know, the answers might not be Otisawi. It might be Vitinha on paper. We don't quite know, really. But, you know, there's a couple of sort of big sort of sticking points in this team in terms of the balance of it, in terms of that midfield in particular. The dynamics just isn't quite there. I think as for people who play FIFA would say, it's like there's not enough chemistry. I say that, I sound really old when I say that, because I don't think I've played FIFA in about 4 years. I'm looking at you, Ed, and you seem to know what you're talking about on this.
No, I'm the same. I know all the words, but yeah, FIFA's lost on me these days. But I think for Dendonker, I think it's strange, but it feels like he needs to be unshackled. Now, is he a defensive midfielder or is he a box-to-box midfielder? Because I think sometimes we play him as one and then he does the other. And I think vice versa. I think he's trying to fill in the gaps of maybe two positions. And I think sometimes when you play him with both Neves and Martinho, I agree with Luke, the sideways passing is beautiful to watch, but it's sideways. And I think when you saw Otisawi come on today, I think breaking the lines and driving past people is something Dendonker's definitely got in his locker and is more of a complete footballer than Otisawi at the minute. But I think sometimes we play him as sort of a ball winner, and then give the ball to Zhao or Ruben, and then they will play the football. And sometimes we want him to break past Jimenez or whoever's playing up front and be the box-to-box midfielder as well. And I think sometimes that maybe he deserves his own role instead of trying to play more than one. And I think we might see more from him, personally.
No, I think that's a good point. There is sort of a... I guess a fear of him always being a jack of all trades, because as I say, you could stick him in half the positions in the team and he'll do a pretty darn good job there because of how physically and technically capable he is. And, you know, we've talked about goals coming from midfield, and especially with him and his injury, there's going to have to be a lot more demand on those attacking players up front to get goals. And both delivered actually today. Podence and Neto both got on the score sheet. Luke, what were your thoughts on the Podence goal?
Quality. Absolute quality. It's a different gravy. Absolute different gravy. He's got the ball. He's shown composure. He's shown a bit of skill. You know, he's sold the Chelsea defenders down the river. It's all right, yeah. Could say he's got a bit of luck with the deflection, but he deserved it. He deserved that deflection. He'd earned the deflection. Absolutely fantastic goal, top draw. And this is what I've said since Jota went. We won't miss Jota, because Neto and Podence will contribute more goals than Jota did last season. Fact. And to be fair, I think they've already done it.
I can league-wise, it's got to be there or thereabouts.
They can't be far off there. Mm. It's Podence for man of the match. Man of the match, absolutely fantastic performance. I thought he had a slow start with us, didn't he? Similar to Dendonker, to be fair. When we first signed him, we didn't see much of him. But Nuno's put in giving him a lot more minutes this season, and he's grabbing it with both hands, and he's repaying Nuno with performances on the pitch, goals, assists, flair, panache. He's one to watch.
He's a proper number. Neto,
both fantastic.
I mean, I had a few thoughts on Podence, but I'm right in thinking we've never actually seen him in the flesh live for Wolves.
Yeah, I'd say a few times.
Because
he came off the bench a few times when we was there last season. I've definitely seen him because I remember thinking, fuck me, he's tiny.
And I definitely thought, you know, obviously fans are slowly coming back into stadiums, which is great. But he's just on who, because he only had a few games towards the end of last season. He only had a couple of really strong performances. But I don't know, this season, he's kicked up such and he's such a fun player, as you say. Like, he wears number 10. He plays like he's an attacking midfielder. He wants to get on the ball. He wants to go past players. He wants to link up play. He's just one of those players who you want to watch play. Yeah, he's
definitely.
That's kind of what you want as a Wolves fan. And, you know, to see him scoring, again, it's the icing on the cake, and it's what's needed. And, you know, after that goal, so we looked a different animal. And, you know, we had back and forth with Chelsea, but, you know, I've said before on the podcast that I think the worst thing Nuno's done at Wolves is after Jota went, he gave that interview where he talked about style of play changing. Because I think loads of the rhetoric around this season is shaped around those comments. But for that Neto goal, that is just classic Nuno. It is get the ball deep, get a crafty midfielder on the ball, spray it out to a Portuguese wide man to just drive it home. Kim, what were your reactions to the goal?
I think it was just brilliant play. And it's probably fair to say that I think the role that Podence was given today, you noticed he was just behind Neto and Silva. So I think just that free role, kind of, instead of him just sticking to the wing, he could almost just pop up everywhere. And I think, you know, just his like little tenacity and his, you know, when he tried to get the ball off Chilwell and he just wanted to, you know, just play like a little 10-year-old. I thought that was really, really good to see. And again, with Neto, I think, you know, they just play with no fear and just sort of go at teams. And I think that's where I think we'll be fine in that area. I don't think it's going to be an issue in terms of, yeah, an out-and-out striker. I think Silva might struggle initially, but I think the issue will be in centre midfield. They're not popping up with enough goals. I don't think it's fair just to think the front three should pop up with every single goal. I think, you know, Neves, Moutinho and Dendonga have to step up to the plate. And even the defence as well, really. Can't remember the last time a defender scored.
There was a pause there, guys, because I think we all, literally, the three of us and Kim, just sort of all looked just thinking, when was the last time a defender scored? So, yeah, tweet us at WWFC Fancast, and I'm sure we'll kind of realise really quickly, like, we scored a goal from a set piece, like, about 3 weeks ago.
Saïss scored against Sheffield United.
So that was, what, first game of the season?
Yeah. We've only scored about three goals since then anyway, haven't we?
Yeah, true. And at least one must have been a penalty, but...
Can I just say as well, Neto will be better than Jota, and he'll have a better career than Jota. I'm going to call it now.
Again, I'm leaving it just to dangle a bit, but because you already sort of alluded to it with Podence as well.
Half of them will. Half of them, Jota who? That's what we'll be signing for.
Diego Jota. Let's just call him Diego from now on. Just marginalise him.
Never heard of him.
I know. Like, for me, just, again, Neto, again, better after having a haircut. You know, I'm not saying the two are collated, but his bonnet was getting a bit dodgy the last couple of weeks. And I was worrying for him because he's a good-looking boy. We all know it. But his hairdo was not doing him justice the last couple of weeks. He's clearly, like, you know, gone to the barbers. He's got his appointment in. He looked sharp and he played sharp tonight and his goal showed it.
It's all in the trim.
Exactly.
Aerodynamic.
Hercules.
Yeah. I guess sort of before we kind of round up, the other sort of point I've made sort of in my notes was around Fabio Silva. Now he's played I guess a few more minutes since the Arsenal game. Ed, how are you sort of viewing him? I mean, you can either view it through the prism of he cost £35 million and he's a club record signing or not. I'll leave it completely up to your interpretation.
Yeah, I think his price tag is an Uncle George backhander, isn't it? Let's be honest. If we paid that much for him, we'll get someone else on the cheap probably in January. The signs are there. That's promising. That little turn when he did his defender and got tripped over by, is it Kante, was it? I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
He needs to get his big boy pants on a bit, doesn't he? He needs to. The flicks and tricks are lovely. The little turns are lovely, but it's as cliched as it is the Premier League. You're going to get booted up in the air. And so, some of the, you know, the little chest downs, and he was falling over and he couldn't quite get hold of it. He was up against a canny operator as well in Silva, Thiago Silva tonight. So take that as well. But the signs are definitely there, aren't they? It's not, he fits the system. He's back to the goal, and then he seems to get beyond the lines a little bit, even maybe more than Jimenez. So the signs are there that he's a promising prospect. The price tag, like I say, that's to make sure that Uncle George is happy, and we'll take that. But yeah, I think once he sort of grows into his body a little bit and realizes what the Premier League's about, like Podence and Neto especially has had to do, it'll take time, but I think he'll be fine. He clearly fits the system. He's the right age to be a backup to Jimenez when he's back, and maybe he'll give us something different. That when he hit the post in the last game, that's not even a chance that Jimenez would necessarily take, because he was looking to get on the turn, whereas Jimenez sort of likes to bring people in and then go in for a cross. So the flicks and tricks are good. The signs are promising for me. It's already better than Cotrone. So we're already up on last season. And I think once he sort of, you know, like I said, gets his big boy pants on and stands up to some of these big centre backs, because he's definitely got the frame for it, I think we're on to a winner.
Yeah, I think I'm hopeful too. And you know, it's been interesting for me because he's quite young, but we've been told he's got so much potential. I guess with strikers, you automatically assume that's goals. And you know, that he'll score buckets at youth team level, that, you know, almost like how Michael Owen burst onto a scene in a way. And for me, he hasn't really had much opportunity in front of goal. He's not lightning quick. We talk about Pedro Neto being aerodynamic with his new hairdo. You know, I'm spitballing here, but is his hairdo holding him back? Because he does look like he's running with lead boots on sometimes. But his movement, the way he gets in front of defenders, he's a big guy, he's a big kid. You know, he's quite canny in that way and sort of being able to link up play. But I think it's going to be interesting. And, you know, him and his injuries have obviously had to sort of excel his development. You know, you've kind of nicely brought on a good talking point in terms of Cotrone / another striker. I guess quickly around the room, I can pretty much gauge Ed's views, but who would you rather have starting up front? So I guess from 1st of January, say we can recall old Paddy Cotrone, but we wouldn't be able to get an external striker in straight away. Would you rather have Fabio Silva starting or Patrick Cotrone? I'll go to Kim first.
Silva, definitely. I mean, there's a few pointers why. I suppose the first one is that it seemed that Cotrone didn't fit in terms of the team, you know, in terms of his attitude, trouble fitting in with his teammates. So that's the first point. And then the second point is I think that Silva fits in better with our style of play, whereas Cotrone is more of a, I don't know, say out-and-out speaker, you know, fox in the box, whereas Silva, I think, will improve game after game.
Hey, Luke.
Silva's going to be here for the long term, you'd like to think. I'd give him the minutes now, more the opportunities there.
Yeah, I think with any young player, you only improve when you play games. Mm. And, you know, fingers crossed we can have that. Again, Ed, just for clarification, I'm assuming you're very much team FABIO.
Yeah, Silva makes the rest of the team better, doesn't he? I think he fits the system and he will bring in the wingers. He'll be a foil for Podence and Neto rather than Cutrone. He's going to want to run in behind and like Kim says, get the goals in the box that we don't tend to produce opportunities like that. So unless we change the system and we go from evolving slowly to evolving straight away, yeah, other than the chant, Cutrone's a loser.
Well, fingers crossed Fabio Silva can get off the mark against Burnley, which we'll be talking about just after this.
Hi everyone, Matt from Wolves Fancast here. If you're anything like me, time is of the essence these days. How am I meant to take training with my wonder kids on the managerial football simulation game that I'm not allowed to mention for legal reasons if I'm too busy worrying about my online media presence? Well, that's where our friends at pixelyetimedia.com come in. They're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all of your design needs from websites, brochures and signage to marketing, logo design and branding. So go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. They'll get you set up quicker than Adama Traore running at a terrified left back. Speaking of which, who's got my baby oil?
Welcome back. Just before we go on to Burnley, we won't be doing sort of a preview show probably for the Burnley game on its own, because we're sort of hopefully releasing a special podcast, as you know, we sometimes do within the Fancast, where we try and talk about other subjects. So I'll pass the ball over to Luke, because this is something sort of you're kind of very keen on driving with and sort of being part of the show on this one.
Yeah. So we were having a conversation the other day, wasn't we, about racism in football and all the to-do that's been going on recently. So we thought, why not discuss it from our own personal experiences, our own personal views and opinions. Everyone's talking about it at the moment, hot topic. So let's try and have a civilized debate around the issue of race.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting discussion with sort of a few of the guys from the Fancast, and hopefully doing a couple of separate interviews as well with some people, well, frankly, a lot more knowledgeable about the subject for myself, to be honest. But it should be a really good one, and hopefully that should be released sort of around the end of the week, but before the Burnley game. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that one. As you said, on Monday evening, we are playing against Burnley, who beat Arsenal in their last game. I mean, let's be honest, who doesn't beat Arsenal at the moment? But they're sitting 17th in the table, after a very slow start to the season. Ed, how do you sort of view Burnley these days? Because it seems like they've kind of just gone from being consistently strong to just being consistently mediocre over the past sort of 18 months.
Yeah, they're there to be got at now. I think that's the difference. Like you say, within the end of last season, the start of this one, they're not sort of, you know, what you're going to get anymore. I think, like you said, who doesn't beat Arsenal at the minute? And that game was dull as dishwater. And I can't imagine this is going to be first on match of the day, let's face it. But they're there to be got at. I think they're lacking their identity. They don't even seem to have that at the minute, which is sort of, you know, the big strikers up front are gonna bash you, the defenders are gonna bash you, and you know what you're gonna get with the 4-4-2, and they're gonna play it down the wide. The wings, the Mick McCarthy football that Sean Dyche plays. So I think they're there for the taking, and I think with players like Podence and Neto, we've got players that will be able to, yeah. If Podence can sit down Chelsea defenders, I don't know what he's gonna do to Burnley ones if he's allowed to do what he wants.
I think he's probably gonna get kicked to high heaven off Ben Mee. Yeah. If you want my honest opinion, I think you'll try one fancy flick and get... It's at Turf Moor, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's at the happy place, isn't it? So I can see there being a few fouls. But I guess we've kind of talked about sort of three at the back to four at the back. Kim, would you sort of go back to a four at the back on Monday?
A difficult one, isn't it? Because I think naturally I feel like, you know, we did look comfortable with our five at the back today, but I don't know. I think Burnley obviously are there for the taking. We shouldn't need to be sitting back as much, but I would hazard a guess that we could actually start with five at the back, which I'm sure won't please some fans. Personally, I wouldn't, but I think overall, I think I would imagine that that would be the case, because it's obviously worked, hasn't it, tonight? I mean, I still don't think that the fullbacks got forward enough tonight. They're not. Personally, I don't think Semedo looks great defensively. You've got to stick with five at the back.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a case then more it's a player swap than a system swap, if we're looking to, I guess, keep the three at the back for the solidity, because it feels like the players know what they're doing a bit more, as Ed said earlier, that they all seem a lot more settled into it. They know their roles. But Ed, I mean, would you consider, I don't know, swapping out Marcel for Aitnori maybe, and even potentially drop Semedo? I mean, he seems quite committed to Semedo, and I'm not surprised considering the amount of money he paid.
Yeah, I think the Aitnori one would make sense. Yeah, Marcel tonight is probably the only player that sort of still didn't look up to the pace for me. And I personally, I think he will play 3-5-2 or 5-3-2 against Burnley. But I think just swapping out the left wing back for a more attacking one will probably be the difference maker in terms of making us look a little bit more attacking going forward. Maybe you could play Otasawi instead of Dendonka. And again, like Luke was talking about earlier, that's someone that breaks the lines a little bit more. But yeah, I think he's going to stick to this to make sure that this busy Christmas period, we sort of keep racking up the points. And I think, like I said earlier, Burnley are there to be got at. And I think if we have Semedo and Aitnori sort of bombing on the wings, I think that's going to push back a lot of the Burnley sort of, you know, other than Dwight McNeil, have they got anyone that would be close to our team? Probably not. And I think if we can nullify him, I think we nullify Burnley.
Yeah, this is when we end up signing Chris Woods in January and sort of making Kenny Jackett very happy, I guess. But no, you are right. They're not a particularly strong team at the moment, on form or on paper. And I don't know, I think you're right that, especially with Otasawi having a good 45 minutes, it is a busy Christmas period, especially with that Spurs-Man U doubleheader. You know, it's and then sort of playing Brighton, you know, what, 3 days after a Man U game, I think it is 4 days. You know, there's a lot of back-to-back in there. And maybe he's giving Dendonka a rest, you know, 45 minutes off tonight, because he's probably a little bit off the pace. But also, as we've been saying about Neves, Moutinho, it's kind of hard to see them playing well together. So Dendonka's played a lot more minutes, it feels like, than he has done previously. And, you know, hopefully Otasawi gives him a bit of cover, or even he can play at the back as well and sort of have an impact there. I mean, Luke, how are you sort of looking at the Burnley game in terms of, I guess, its importance? Because for me, us beating Chelsea was huge tonight, chiefly because having Spurs and Man U coming up, obviously we've got Brighton, which you'd expect us to and hope for us to win, and then Everton. It's a little bit of a sticky patch, but I think that win tonight's given Wolves that bit of breathing space. So how are you sort of viewing the game Monday night?
I think tonight is a very good win, but it's only a good win if you back it up with a positive result against Burnley. Every game's important in the Premier League, especially with this shit show of a season this season. I mean, we're what, 3 points off fifth now after tonight's win? I know other teams have got games in hand and it will change over the course of the midweek fixtures. But games, Burnley away, with all due respect, we've got to be looking at winning those sort of games. If we're going to be bothering the European spaces this season, we have to be winning. We've got a decent record away at Burnley. I've had a look. The last 15 fixtures at Turf Moor, we've won 7, drew 4, lost 4. So that's a decent record for Wolves, because we're shit. Well, we've been shit for years, until about 4 or 5 years ago. So that's quite positive. So I'd like to think there we're going to go there with a positive attitude. Oh, even though I've been camped 4 at the back, I probably would stick with 5 at the back again. I think I would. I'd stick with Marcel, because we know what we're going to get from Burnley. Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes up top. everything's going to be coming down with snow on it. So I just think Marcel offers a bit more in the air than Ait Nouri. I'd hope Dendonka is back fit, and I'd probably go Dendonka Moutinho. I just think Neves is completely off form. I don't think any of our centre midfielders have stood out this season, but I think Moutinho has had a better season than Neves so far. And Dendonka just offers you those breaks into the box and a bit more height. Because we're going to be bombarded with long balls, aren't we? So, and then if we back up tonight's win with another win on Monday, when we play Burnley, it completely changes the dynamics. Then we are looking forward again, and it's like, I'll tell you what, all right, we've got Man U next. Or is it Tottenham after that?
It's Spurs, said Man U.
We've got Spurs, home advantage. Well, no, home advantage doesn't count for much, but we might have 2,000 in for the Spurs game. Who knows? Let's see what Uncle Boris says in a couple of days' time. So, home advantage against Spurs. You'd like to think we could win that game. As good as Spurs are, you know, they're not invincible. So, if we're looking at 7 points off those three games, completely changes everything. And with everyone beating everyone, people dropping points here, people dropping points there, go on a little run and you never know where you might end up.
Yeah, that sounds almost a bit, you know, little wink at the end of that work, I feel. You know, just, you never know. Like, you're still tipping us to finish fourth.
It's been that crazy. Like, I'm not going to lie, I was having a meltdown after the game. I was fuming, I was pissed off, I was angry because something just wasn't working. I still think after tonight's game, there's still a lot of improvement to be made with the personnel that we've got at our, that we can use. You know, there's still big improvements to be made. But you just, this season's just crazy. It's crazy. I mean, if we could go and get 2 points from the next three or four games and then we're back in a relegation battle. But then we could win two of the next three after that, and then we're looking at Europa League again. It's, this season is just so bipolar, it's unreal.
No, I think you're bang on the money, Luke. And it sounds stupid, but you just need to win however many games you can do.
I just need a run.
And it sounds stupid, but yeah.
But if not just Wolves, if any team can get a run together, they're going to shoot up the league. If we, and let it just be Wolves that go on that run. We've got the players. We've proved it the last two seasons. We've got the players to beat the top teams. We should be able to beat the lesser teams. So let's just find a bit of consistency. Otherwise, we're going to end up at the end of the season frustrated and annoyed when we finished ninth. And we're like, if only we was a bit more consistent this season, we could have finished fourth.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds.
No, but you're right, because everyone, bar Spurs and Liverpool to a degree,
yeah,
and you know, maybe even Leicester on paper, you know, it's been so inconsistent across the board. Even like Villa, you know, they won those four games at the start, and then where were they for a month?
Well, I'm looking at Man City now, 64 minutes gone, and they're drawing 1-1 with West Brom. This could easily finish 1-1.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's finding form. If whatever team finds a bit of form and maybe wins, I don't know, 6 out of 9 with a draw or two coupled into that, they're going to finish in the top 5 or 6, guaranteed.
Well, I mean, like, I think, as you said, sort of the table, I know we've kind of played a game more than others now, and, you know, we've played 3 more games than Villa and a couple more games than most other teams. But I think there's a good opportunity, as you say, that if we can get a good run over the festive period, get to Christmas, you know, essentially still in the top 10, then fingers crossed, with an addition of a striker maybe, you know, we can hopefully kind of crack on with the second half of the season, be that sort of stable team. But I guess sort of rounding off the Burnley game, should we do a quick score prediction 6 days out? Lots of time for lots of things to happen, but Ed, first time on the show, what are you thinking score-wise?
2-0 Wolves, regulation.
Very good. Kim?
1-0 to Wolves. I think it'll be a tie game than people think.
And Luke, what are you thinking?
We're going to win 4-1.
Yes. I was hoping. I thought it was going to be on me. I was just going to say, you know what? All the cards on the table. Let's just go for it. And I'm so glad you said it, because I can go for a 2-0 now. 4-1. Oh, God, can you imagine Wolves beating a team by 3 goals? It's giving me chills. If we were a perfect Christmas present.
It's going to happen. Neto and Podence have found the form now. Well, I was like, yeah. Do you know what? The both and
Podence. No, they have. Like, they have.
That, yeah. They're going to step up to the plate. I can feel it.
Honestly, what else
we're going to get? We're going to get a penalty. Our first one of the season.
Will Fabio Silva be in those 4 goals? So I'm just trying to imagine it now.
He'll get a brace.
He'll get a brace. Neto and Podence will get the other 2, but they'll assist Silva on both of his.
Yeah.
Sound right. I'm on board. I'm on the train. We're going. Okay. Before we wrap up today's podcast, should we have a few questions from Twitter Corner? Big thanks to everyone who's messages. Some of these we have covered already in the chat. Thanks to Ash Dolan saying the second coming off of a Lafignana, which we have discussed. Ted Hill asks, can Otisawi play every game in every position, please? Was Otisawi the Endai signing everyone wanted all along? And again, I think that sort of just emphasises the point, I guess, that he gives us that bit of physicality, that bit of drive in the middle of the park. Matt asks, does Roman Sais get the credit he deserves? Always a 4 guy and drops if we have a dip in form. Whenever he plays, he's solid.
I think it's, yeah, criminally underrated. Because he offers so much. He can play in 2 positions for a start. He's good in the air. He's got a good passing range. He chips in with a couple of goals as well for a defender. Yeah. You know, he'll come up with his 2 or 3 a season, which helps. And he's a shithouse.
World-class at that.
Yeah. You can't dislike him because of just for the shithousery.
I love the fact that still in 2020, nearly in 2021.
Great for that.
You know what? I was going to say he's always good on a doubles booking bet with usually Neves. You can usually get him and Neves on the same sort of bet. But he loves a meaty challenge and he's not afraid of it. And he's just one of those players, isn't he, which you want on your team as a fan. I'd hate it if we played against him because I'd just be calling him a diving prick, just hacking into players but going down like nothing. But, I think he's definitely got a lot of love in the fan cast. And as I said before, look back when he has come out of the team and, Nuno's wanting to get a result and bring things back on track. Doesn't matter if it's in midfield or at the back, Sais always comes in. Lewis Robbins actually asks 2 questions. One, Luke's answered, but Ed and Kim haven't. Neto to become better than Jota. Ed, are you ready to put it all on the line with this one? Kim's there. Where are you? Are you going to sit on the fence on this
I'm
one?
I'm already there.
The fence is uncomfortable. I love Jota. There was something about sort of his drive. But yes, why not? Why not? I think there's something more dynamic about him and how he runs. So yeah, yes, he will.
My short king, that's all I'm going to say about Podence. So I think we all know where my heart lies on that one. Again, interestingly on Neto, I was going to say on this one, is how long can you see us holding on to him for?
He's the new Steve Ball. He ain't going anywhere. why would you go anywhere else at the minute? Half of the team are Portuguese. Wolverhampton will be half Portuguese by 2022. Yeah, like Luke says, all it's going to take is us to do 3 or 4 wins and draws, and we're in Europe again. Why would you go anywhere else right now? Seriously.
I guess the last question, I'm going to sort of put on my own question on this one. It's will Podence come down the hog for a beer when it's open? And my immediate thought is, I wonder what either beer Podence would drink or what alcoholic beverage you would drink. So you got a twofold question, guys. So A, can you see him going down hogs for a drink? And B, what's he having?
He's defo having couple carling. And because he's got little man syndrome, he's kicking off after about 4 points as well, getting everyone in trouble. And it's like, fuck's sake, Podence. He ain't even looking at ya. Leave him alone. And he's like, no. Oh, no, him. I seen him in the boozer. He was looking at my missus' arse. And you're like, leave it out. And then everyone's scrapping because of the little man.
He's the mate that you warn your other mates about.
He is. Yeah. When you have to say to your mates, listen, he's all right.
Yeah.
And he's exactly the same as little Dan. Good for a drink, Dan. Then the same fucking night, they've got the same fucking name and they get you in the same fucking shit.
I was going to say, Podence, again, we talk about Chase being a bit of a shit house. Podence, I don't know what it's about him, despite the fact he is about 5'6", looks tasty, looks like he could handle himself if he wanted to.
That's what it is, though. It's because he's 5'4".
It's the eyes. Whether it's him going up for a header or whatever, I just think, you know what? He'd happily just start on someone if he needed to. And I respect that in him.
Yeah, fair play.
Look, I think
he's still more likely to have more of a vodka purely because he seems very into his like diet gin. Yeah. So, no, I can't see the extra calories. I can see, you know, vodka, soda, diet soda.
I was going to say,
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, because interestingly, little Dan doesn't drink beer, does he? He tends to have Southern Comfort or Southern Comfort lemonade, isn't he?
Like sure.
Yeah, we'll finish today's podcast on that lovely note. Big thank you to everyone for listening to this week's show. We'll be back, as I said, with our race and football podcast later this week. And we'll also be reviewing the Burnley game after Monday's result. Big thank you to our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. If you've got any marketing website leads, feel free to check out their website, pixelyetimedia.com. Make sure you keep up with all the socials on Fancast, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're doing lots more on YouTube now. It's not even just Dan's FIFA Greek now. Even Luke's making an appearance and kicking people's asses on it, as well as Gully's tactical analysis. To finish off the show, we'll say goodbye from Kim.
Bye.
Goodbye from Ed.
See ya.
And it's goodbye from Luke.
See you later.
See you next time, guys.
This is what renting furniture with Feather looks like. Pieces that fit your style and your space. And cost less than your monthly phone bill. Oh, and did we mention delivery and assembly included? Feather. Start renting at livefeather.com.